Lesson 1. Dealing with ambiguity at work. I just went through the scope document again, and it's still pretty unclear. There are no detailed deliverables, no timeline, and the success criteria remain very vague.
Yeah, it feels like we have to move forward based on incomplete information, which makes decision-making difficult.
What complicates it further is that I've talked with marketing and operations, and their goals don't seem to align. They have conflicting expectations about this project.
That's concerning. I think our first step should be compiling a thorough list of assumptions and questions that need clarification.
Agreed. Also, we should define the non-negotiables, the key deliverables that must be met regardless of the ambiguity.
I'll work on a decision-making matrix to clarify responsibilities and accountability. Meanwhile, assigning temporary leads for each work stream will help maintain momentum.
Good plan. We must document every assumption we make, so we have a clear record to refer back to if problems arise.
Exactly. In complex projects like this, clarity isn't handed to us. It's something we build through communication, documentation, and collaboration.
We should also plan a stakeholder alignment session soon, so everyone understands the current gaps and agrees on the path forward.
Definitely. And having contingency plans ready will help us manage risks as the project progresses.
This audio belongs to Global Speak Institute.
Lesson 12. Discussing ethical dilemmas in business. Zoe, I'd like to get your opinion. One of our vendors offered me free tickets to a major tech conference in Singapore next month. They're currently bidding on our cloud infrastructure project. What do you think about this?
Is this the first time they've done this, or have they offered something similar before?
This is the first time. They said it's a gesture of appreciation, but given their current bid, the timing seems a bit sensitive.
I understand your concern. Even if you didn't ask for the tickets, accepting them could be seen as a conflict of interest or undue influence. Have you accepted the offer yet?
Not yet. I wanted to check with you first because, honestly, I feel uncomfortable about it.
That's a good approach. Situations like this can harm our credibility if not handled transparently. I suggest politely declining, documenting the offer thoroughly, and reminding the vendor of our company's compliance policy.
That makes sense. I'll draft a neutral and respectful email to respond. Should we also log this incident in our compliance records?
Absolutely. I'll assist you with logging it properly. Thanks for bringing this up. Your actions show strong integrity.
I appreciate your support. Maintaining transparency is definitely the best way to protect ourselves and the company.
Exactly. Let's keep all interactions above board to avoid any misunderstandings or ethical breaches. This audio belongs to Global Speak Institute. Lesson 14. Analyzing the cause of a business failure. Thanks, everyone, for joining this debrief. I want this to be a safe space to reflect on why our product launch didn't meet expectations.
From my side, one big issue was timing. We launched about 2 weeks before the software was truly stable, and we knew there were still bugs in the back end.
I agree. We also started the campaign with feature highlights that weren't fully functional. That led to a number of customer complaints.
That's an important point. Do you think we had enough alignment between the teams before go live?
Not really. There was pressure to meet the original deadline, so we skipped a few QA stages. I should have escalated the risks sooner.
And we, on the marketing side, didn't double-check with product before finalizing the messaging. That disconnect hurt us.
I appreciate both of you owning the gaps. What can we change going forward?
We need clearer go/no-go criteria before launch.
And a real-time sync between product, dev, and marketing during the final sprint.
Good insights. Let's compile these into a lessons learned doc and build a checklist for future rollouts. Another factor was the lack of customer feedback integration during development. We should have involved users earlier.
Absolutely. Early beta testing would have helped catch issues sooner and adjust accordingly.
This audio belongs to Global Speak Institute. Lesson 29, Managing Underperforming Employees. Hi, Ben. Thanks for joining me today. I wanted to talk about your recent performance. It's noticeably dropped over the past couple of months, and I'd like to understand what's going on from your side.
Yeah, I've been aware of that too. It's been a personally tough period for me lately, but I know it's starting to impact my work.
I really appreciate your honesty, Ben. This conversation isn't about blame. It's about finding a path forward together. Can you share if there are any specific obstacles or challenges you're facing right now?
Mostly, it's been time management. I've been stretched thin, juggling scheduling duties along with team issues that keep piling up.
That context helps a lot. How about we start by revising your work plan to clearly redefine your key priorities and reduce some of the non-essential tasks?
That sounds like it would really help. I think with clearer direction and more support, I can get back on track.
Excellent. Let's also schedule weekly check-ins over the next month to monitor progress and make adjustments as needed. We'll work through this together.
Thanks, Julia. I'm committed to making these real changes and improving my performance.
Ben, I also want to check if there's any additional support or resources you think would help you improve your workload management.
That would be helpful. Maybe some training on time management tools or delegating tasks more effectively.
Great idea. I'll arrange for you to attend a workshop next week. Meanwhile, feel free to reach out if you need help with prioritizing your tasks. This audio belongs to Global Speak Institute. Lesson 40, Discussing Leadership and Integrity. Raj, can I ask you something? What would you do if a top performer in your team violated a company policy? How would you balance protecting results and maintaining ethical standards?
That's a tough question. My instinct is often to protect results because that person is a key contributor. But honestly, integrity has to come first. Without trust, results don't last.
I agree. I've seen leaders turn a blind eye to violations to avoid conflict, but that usually backfires badly.
Exactly. Integrity means doing what's right, even when it's hard or unpopular. Standing by your principles is crucial.
Have you faced a similar situation? How did you handle it?
Yes. Last year, I had to let go of a high performer who bent the rules repeatedly. It was difficult, but team morale improved afterward.
That's real leadership. Making the tough but right choice.
I remind myself that results are temporary, but reputation lasts forever.
A leader's legacy is built on trust and integrity, not just numbers.
True leadership also means creating a culture where everyone is accountable and respected.
Raj, how do you ensure that maintaining integrity doesn't compromise the team's morale or productivity?
It's about transparency and consistent communication. When the team sees that rules apply to everyone fairly, it fosters respect and motivation.
This audio belongs to Global Speak Institute.